Often when we face a crisis or face these days of lockdown, it causes us to ask questions. How has this happened? Am I going to get sick? What about my family? What about my job? What about my mortgage? What about my children? What about my grandchildren? When's this all going to end? Times of crisis often brings us to times of questions, and it leads us to make decisions about the future. And all of you and I have had to make decisions and ask ourselves some big questions recently. But today I want you to come with me as we follow this book of Acts and as we follow Paul and Silas. Today they have made their way to Europe. You'll remember that Paul used to be called Saul. He used to be a persecutor of the church, and then he was converted on the Damascus Road, and now he is telling other people about Jesus. And everywhere he goes, he gets into trouble because people don't like his message, particularly the officials. And here he's in this European city of Philippi, and a lady called Lydia has come to faith. A slave girl has been released from her slaves, and people are interested, but it's causing a bit of civil unrest because of the message they are sharing. And today, as you come with me, I want you to see this story through the lens of a really ordinary guy, a jailer, who encounters Paul and Silas as they are sentenced to go into his jail. And we're going to see that he faces a life-changing crisis, that he asks a life-changing question, and he makes a life-changing decision. And we're going to see how this applies to all of us today. So read with me in Acts chapter 16, verse 22. It says, "The crowd joined in the attack against Paul and Silas, and the magistrates ordered them to be stripped and beaten with rods. After they had been severely flogged, they were thrown into prison, and the jailer was commanded to guard them carefully." He just had one job: guard these two men carefully. "So when he received these orders," in verse 24, "he put them into the inner cell, fastened their feet in the stocks." So he puts them into the most secure prison cell he has, commonly known as the dungeon cell. Probably no windows and no natural light coming in. It would have been dark and damp, and he puts their feet in these rusty old socks as well. That actually causes their torso to stretch. This is not a pleasant experience for Paul and Silas, but this is just another day for the jailer. So after he gets everybody into the cell, everybody locked up as he usually does, he then goes off to sleep. He's on the night shift, so he goes off to get some sleep. But then in verse 27, we see that he is woken up suddenly. Why? Well, in verse 26, it tells us that there's been an earthquake and the very foundations of the prison are shaken. This is an area known for earthquakes. Here is a divinely appointed earthquake to fling wide the prison cell doors. So as the jailer wakes up, he sees these doors are wide open, and he goes and he gets his sword and he's ready to kill himself because he thinks that all the prisoners have escaped. Here's a life-changing crisis for the jailer. You see, he would have faced the consequences and the punishment that the prisoners were facing. And that would have led to him probably facing the death penalty himself, so he thinks he'll just go on ahead and do it himself. Here's a life-changing crisis for the jailer. But we're going to see that he goes on to ask a life-changing question. Read on. Verse 28 says, "But Paul shouted, 'Don't harm yourself, we're all here.' So the jailer calls for lights. He rushed in and falls trembling before Paul and Silas. He brought them out and said, 'Sirs, what must I do to be saved?'" This is amazing that the prisoners who have been released physically from these shackles have not ran out of the prison and embraced their freedom. Lockdown is over for them. They can go and see their friends and their family again. But they're all there. So he calls for the lights. Not just are the physical lights going on, but I believe this is a light bulb moment for the jailer. You see, and he then falls before Paul and Silas, trembling. The adrenaline is rushing. And he asks them this significant question, this life-changing question. He says, "Sirs, Paul and Silas, what must I do to be saved?" Now, he isn't asking what he must do to be saved from the Roman officials. He's not asking how can he get off with the punishment he's going to face, because actually none of the prisoners have left, so he's going to be okay. No, he's asking, how can I be right with God? This word saved is, how can I embrace salvation from God? His crisis has led him to ask the biggest question of all. Knowing that there is a God in heaven, how can I be right with him? It's caused him to evaluate his life in this instant. Possibly he's heard Paul and Silas praying and singing in the prison cells as he's dozed off to sleep that night. Possibly he's heard some of their message that they've been preaching to others. And he wants to know what he must do. It goes on and we see a life-changing decision that he makes, because Paul and Silas answer him, "Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved, you and your household." Here's the answer to his question: to believe in Jesus, to put your faith and your trust in him, to believe that he came to earth, that he lived the perfect life, that he died the perfect death on the cross that we should have died, and that he rose to new life on the third day, that he is the Son of God, that he is who he said he is. Do you see what Paul and Silas didn't say? They didn't say that you must try harder. Just be a better jailer. Just be a better husband. Just try a little bit better with your kids. Just dress a little bit better. Just become a little bit more like us. And they go to the heart and say, you must believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and to put your faith and your trust in him. So what does the jailer do? Well, we read on and we see that the jailer's life really is transformed, because in verse 32, they then spoke the word of the Lord to him and others in his house. At that hour of the night, the jailer took them home and washed their wounds, and then immediately he and his household were baptized. Can you see the change here? He is hungry for God's word. He is embracing Paul and Silas, these prisoners, into his home as a sign of friendship and of hospitality, and he gives them food to eat. He then is baptized as well. This baptism is just an outward sign of an inward change, that as he goes under the water, he is burying his old life, and as he comes up, he is rising to new life in Christ. Baptism symbolizes this life change that we receive whenever we put our belief, our faith, and our trust in Jesus. You see, that keeps going and he washes their wounds as well. Wounds from the flogging, wounds that possibly the jailer has inflicted as he came into his prison cell. He's caring for them. Verse 34 says, he set a meal before him and is filled with joy because he had come to believe in God, he and his whole household. Here's somebody who was ready to kill himself just moments ago, and now he is filled with joy. Can you see the life change, the dramatic life change in this jailer's life? He faced a crisis. He asked a question and he made a decision. Can I encourage you today, in whatever situation you find yourself in, possibly in this global pandemic of COVID-19, of this crisis that you're asking all sorts of questions, can I encourage you to ask the questions in relation to God? How can you be right with God? But can I encourage you not just to ask the questions, but like the jailer, to make a decision to live for Christ, to put your faith and your trust in him, to leave your old way of living and to begin a new way of living for Jesus. It's not going to be easy. It's not going to be smooth sailing, but it's going to be worth it. It's going to be a life of joy in this life and in the life to come. And if you're listening to this and you're already a Christian, can I encourage you with this story as well? Paul and Silas faced opposition everywhere they went, but whatever their new situation was, they seen that as a new opportunity. In the dungeon cells and chained, they seen that as an opportunity to sing and to pray and to tell others about Jesus. In these days of change for us, will you and I see these as days of opportunity with our friends or family members or neighbours? Paul and Silas were also expectant. Can I encourage you to serve Jesus expectantly, that the gospel still works? God is still in the business of changing lives, like the Philippine jailer, like me, like you. And if he can do it with us, he can do it with our friends and our family as well. Let's keep praying, let's keep singing, let's keep telling out the good news about Jesus.